The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Good morning, Marsh Chapel. We gather on this third Sunday of Pentecost to worship God in word and song with singing and listening and in spirit and truth. My name is Jonathan Lee, and I serve as Associate Chaplain for Student Outreach here at Marsh Chapel. Whether this is your first Sunday here or your 100th Sunday here, whether you're joining us in person, remotely, or maybe even you're even listening to this recording later in the week, we welcome you to worship today. Before we begin, I have several announcements. Today marks the beginning of our annual summer preaching series. Over the next several weeks, we will be welcoming preachers from across the country to lead us in reflection on the theme of a look to the future. Today's preacher is the Reverend Dr. Jess Chica, chaplain for international students here at Marsh Chapel. Reverend Dr. Chica will also be leading us in celebrating communion. Final announcement is that we will be hosting a luncheon for after the service for everybody attending in person today. All are welcome to stick around after the service and enjoy one another's company. We will be directing people downstairs for that lunch. We would love to have you join us. Now, as we enter a time of worship, remember that the Psalms tell all the earth to cry out with joy to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness, and come into God's presence with singing. This is the day the Lord has made. As Abel, please stand in praise of God.
Let it all be said. Let us pray together. O God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things both in heaven and earth. Put away from us, we entreat you, all hurtful things, and give us those things which are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light, word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Renew your creation. Restore us, that we might proclaim good news to all. Amen. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time for grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved. Amen. You may be seated.
A lesson from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A lesson from Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
Please join me in reading verses from Psalm 81 after singing the antiphon. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our festal day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a voice I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Please stand as you are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel.
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then they said to him, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to them, "The man, stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. It is the second Sunday after Pentecost, just if anybody's paying attention. Nearly half of all U.S. workers don't use their paid time off. This is according to a Pew Research study conducted in 2023, which looked at the differences between hourly and salaried workers' use of paid time off, sick or vacation time, by their genders, their races, and now how long they had worked for their employer. It also asked why people don't use all of this time that they're given. Reasons ranged from some people saying that they felt that they had enough time off with what they take. These were mostly salaried workers, who also incidentally don't use as much of their PTO, to not wanting to create more of a burden for coworkers while they're absent, to downright fear that they might lose their job if they use their time off. Even if workers do take their time off granted, technology has made it almost impossible to disconnect from the office. Smartphones not only allow people to call or text you wherever you are, but they also make email and video conference calling possible. Taking a break from work is hard and not something our culture especially values. Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. What does this statement mean to you? To me, it means we need breaks. We cannot work all the time. But at the same time, we also cannot be so rigid in how we observe Sabbath that we miss the point of it by providing rest and being legalistic and judging others and how they use that time off. In American culture specifically, we have lost sight of Sabbath keeping. Sure, there are some within different religious traditions who hold fast to the ideas of not working, not doing anything that is considered work on the Sabbath to keep it holy. But the majority of our culture has moved away from such thinking. We live in an era in which being productive is prized. People value busyness, even if that busyness makes them feel unfulfilled. It's come to the point in my generation that one cannot simply have a hobby without it becoming some kind of side hustle, a way to make extra income, a social media presence, things like that. I see it in our students as well. They are very high achieving, and in addition to getting good grades while in college, feel as though they must be involved in as many clubs and organizations as possible, have an internship, and have a job in order to feel accomplished. Part of what Marsh Chapel does in its academic year offerings is create spaces where students can let go of those self-imposed expectations. Perhaps that's also why, for many years now, students who are fulfilling their contextual education requirements at the School of Theology are required to include a Sabbath-keeping practice. You're familiar with some of these students. They've worked here as ministry assistants at the chapel. Now, you might be saying to yourself, students are getting graded on whether they are observing the Sabbath. That's weird. And yes, on the surface, imposing a Sabbath practice as part of a grade seems counterintuitive. For these students who will be going into ministry or other nonprofit-related work, it's important to initiate healthy work-life balance practices, especially when their future vocations aren't cut and dry in office and out of office time. These Sabbath practices take on many different forms for these students. For some, choosing a day of the week in which no school or other work is done is how they find that balance. For others, it's setting aside time each day for prayers, for devotions, for reading that is outside of required tasks. Going outside for meditative walks without distractions. Even being intentional about gathering with friends can be Sabbath practice, over a meal, to play a game, to craft together. It's in these moments that our connections with each other, the world, and ultimately God become clearer to us. Sabbath is rest that restores us bodily, mentally, and spiritually. In today's reading from Deuteronomy, God commands that the Israelite community do no work on the Sabbath. This command is not just for the Israelites, but for their livestock, their slaves, and anyone else in the community, even those who are resident aliens. All are supposed to rest on this day, because rest is important. Even God rested after the creation of the world. This rest is not just for those who earn it, it is meant for everyone, even for those whom the community might not value as highly. God reminds the Israelites that they too were once slaves and that they should treat those in their community who are enslaved with more respect than they experienced in Egypt. The covenants that God has established with them requires them to see all as equal. Sabbath is not just for the health and rest of the individuals in the community, it is also a justice issue. It speaks to a deeper understanding of God's loving and liberative qualities, freeing people from the expectation that they must earn their favor from God in order to find restoration. We can perhaps better understand Jesus' statement that Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath, in light of this interpretation of Deuteronomy. In today's Gospel from Mark, Jesus' response to the Pharisees is decisive. As they point out that he is breaking the Sabbath laws, he responds right back to them that they have lost sight of what Sabbath is supposed to stand for. Over time, they have allowed the law to dictate their human behavior without a clear connection to God's presence in the world. They have forgotten that observing the Sabbath means loving God, which also means loving neighbor. The disciples gleaning wheat to fulfill their hunger, the healing of the man with a withered hand, both of these actions are for the betterment of humanity. People need to eat. The man's healing, while not a life-threatening issue, restores the man's wholeness, and it restores his participation in society. Jesus is angered that the Jewish leaders have allowed their strict adherence to Sabbath laws to prevent them from doing what is needed, especially in the case of the man with the withered hand. Is it wrong to observe the Sabbath? No, Jesus is not saying that. Instead, he is bringing a new way of being into the world that allows for the satisfaction of human need without concern for angering God by not strictly adhering to the law. Jesus' perspective shakes up the status quo in Jewish society. As with most people who challenge the status quo, there is a great deal of mistrust and concern about what Jesus is doing. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, the one who has the authority to both forgive the sin of breaking the laws on the Sabbath and to break those laws. While most commentators would remind us that in the book of Mark, there is some great messianic secret about Jesus. No one knows that he is the Messiah and what he does. He states it so clearly here that he is the Son of Man and he has the power to do these things. Sabbath was created for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. What Jesus shows us in meeting hunger and health needs is that the Sabbath is for us, not the other way around. We, all of us, require rest. And we also require renewal and to have our needs met so that we feel whole again. While my examples from earlier about the current state of Sabbath keeping or lack thereof in the U.S. may seem at odds with a gospel reading that pushes against the practice of Sabbath keeping, they are actually aligned with each other. In one case, we are denying ourselves opportunities to have space to recognize the importance of our connection with God and what our human needs are. And in the other, the strict adherence to Sabbath keeping is also not allowing people to have their needs met. There must be a balance, it seems, between these interpretations or observations of Sabbath practice. Our current American culture emphasizes work over all else. In a way, we are losing ourselves to the demands of economic cultures that value productivity and wealth over well-being and relationships. Or in some cases, we are constantly moving from one crisis to another without taking time to appreciate the things that are going well in our lives or in our world. Such anxiety can also leave us empty and disconnected, feeling as though there isn't any way that we can create change. Challenging the status quo isn't easy, especially when there are so many systems in place in our world that seem to force us into particular ways of being. Thinking about the theme of this summer's preaching series, look to the future. I can't help but wonder if an emphasis on Sabbath could help redirect the decline in mainline Protestantism. Sabbath is a way of resisting the ways of the world that separate us from one another. It encourages us to seek justice by recognizing the ways we are all equally valued by God in our rest and restoration, no matter our placement within society, without having to do anything to earn that rest. Grace fulfills our needs in providing this place of rest for our bodies, minds, and spirits. What can Sabbath keeping offer us? What is its point? One commentator, David L. Miller, who I read this week, argues that we need Sabbath because without it, we forget who we are in the scheme of God's creation and in our relationship with God. He states, "Jesus appears and heals the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, revealing the restoration that is God's holy dream for us and all creation. This is why we desperately need to keep the Sabbath. We forget. We forget who we are, favored, loved, and eternally cherished. We forget that our loving God labors tirelessly amid the mess to restore us and all that that is to its truest beauty. We can forget who we are if we don't slow down and rest. We can forget that we are more than the work that we do, even if it is our calling and vocation. Our relationships with others, our friends and family members, and our community benefit from our awareness of who we are. Life isn't only about goals and accomplishments. It is about the ways in which we care for and love one another, including ourselves. One way we can find rest is in weekly worship. This time together, hearing the scriptures read, the music sung, the prayers offered, can tie us to something bigger than ourselves. We also find community here, joined together in the body of Christ. We come from different life experiences, different locations, different age brackets, and find comfort in those who surround us in our chosen church community. A community built on love, respect, and affirmation for others that expects love, respect, and affirmation from its members. Another aspect of our worship that can remind us of the rest we find in Christ is in Holy Communion. The sacrament of Holy Communion is an outward expression of inward grace, a way that we can tangibly touch and taste our connection with God. As our liturgy will remind us later today, we find God in so many places in creation. The Last Supper, which we remember through this holy act, was itself a moment of rest. It was when the disciples and Jesus sat to have a meal together, to engage in the intimate act of eating and conversation, marked by Jesus' institution of the bread and wine as symbols of remembrance. As we come together for communion today and hear the recounting of that night, may we remember it as a moment of Sabbath, both as an opportunity of connection and a challenging to the status quo that seemed inconsequential at the time, but continues to feed us to this day. Sabbath does not necessarily have to come in the form of worship. Sabbath can be through connection, through intentionally setting aside time to be fully present with others. Whether it's during a meal or over coffee, it can be spent in nature, reconnecting to the creation in ways that awe and inspire us. It can be in times of simply just resting, not allowing the world to take away moments of relaxation or enjoyment, but savoring opportunities to give the body time to slow down and heal. Sabbath can also be found in serving others, enabling their own restoration of humanity. There is not one prescriptive way for us to observe Sabbath. The important thing is that we recognize that God establishes it for us so that we might find restoration. Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for Sabbath. God, especially through Christ's ministry, emphasizes how Sabbath is meant to function, to meet human needs, to provide compassion, to be an expression of love and justice in the world. In practicing Sabbath in our own ways, we challenge a world that puts demands on us and tries to force us into all work and no play or rest. We need Sabbath to discover who we are, to reconnect with others, and to reaffirm our commitment to be a member of the body of Christ. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share signs of Christ's peace with one another.
We now enter the time of our service where we worship God with our tithes and offerings. Come, let us present to God our lives and offerings, grateful for the gifts we have been given.
From you. In bread and cup, you open up heaven to us.
Meet us at this table that we may receive what we seek and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise, beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness, through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at Christ's table. Wine will be served on the pulpit side. Grape juice will be served on the lectern side. Please go to whichever side you feel most comfortable with. We also have a gluten-free option available upon request. You may also opt for a blessing if you do not wish to receive elements today. At Jesus' table, heaven and earth are joined as one. Come and see. Let us pray together. Giver of every gift, Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power for the benefit of all and to your glory, now and forever. Amen. Again, you are all invited downstairs for a luncheon meal after the service. God who names you, Christ who claims you, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, bless you and remain with you always. Amen.